President Trump says a peace deal with Iran is now complete, covering all fronts, including Lebanon. Sir Keir Starmer is expected to announce a social media ban for under-16s in the UK at a Downing Street news conference in the morning. A fresh attempt to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales is being launched by a Labour MP. The former Deputy Labour leader Lord Hattersley has died. In sport, Lewis Hamilton has claimed his first Grand Prix win driving for Ferrari. President Trump says the US and Iran have reached a deal to end their war in the Middle East. Pakistan, which has been mediating between Washington and Tehran, said an immediate and permanent termination of military operations had been declared. On Friday, Donald Trump pledged the Strait of Hormuz would reopen after a formal signing of the deal. Our World News correspondent Joe Inwood reports.
Getting to this point has taken weeks of careful negotiation, with Pakistani mediators balancing the competing, often contradictory demands of Tehran and Washington. In the end, they seem to have managed to get both sides to agree to the same deal, reopening the Strait of Hormuz, lifting the US blockade, and ending the fighting, including in Lebanon. It's worth noting that the thorniest issues, such as the fate of Iran's enriched uranium, its support for proxies, or any releasing of frozen assets, are not mentioned in the brief statement put out by Pakistan's Prime Minister. Also absent from Shahbaz Sharif's post is any direct mention of Israel or Hezbollah. But getting them to go along with this deal, which will be signed on Friday, is vital if it is to last.
Oil prices have fallen on news of the deal. The price of Brent crude futures has dropped to around $84 a barrel after a peak of $120 a barrel at one point in the conflict. Here's our business correspondent, Jonathan Josephs.
A new week of trading on global oil markets began approximately half an hour after President Trump announced a deal had been done with Iran. Despite the lack of details, oil prices fell, reflecting traders' belief that global supplies will increase as a result of the agreement. The president's post ended by saying, "Let the oil flow." How quickly that will happen remains to be seen, giving shipping companies a concern about the safety of their crews and ships. Before the conflict, approximately 20% of the world's oil and gas flowed through the strait. Resuming those flows would help tackle the inflation that has been damaging the global economy because of this conflict.
The government is expected to announce a social media ban for children in the UK under 16 later today, alongside some additional measures designed to keep children safe online. The Prime Minister is due to give a news conference in the morning, with Whitehall sources describing the scheme as Australia Plus. He said he wants to call time on a system that's failing children. Here's our technology editor, Zoe Kleinman.
For the under-16s, life online is about to change dramatically. A social media ban for children in the UK is just one of the measures the Prime Minister is expected to announce this morning. The goal is to protect young people on the internet, and 9 out of 10 parents who responded to the government's public consultation supported the idea of keeping them off platforms including Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat and X until they're older. The current minimum age is 13. Additional measures are likely to include overnight curfews for under-16s or even under-18s, as well as blocking access to AI chatbots that generate sexually explicit content. Details about how it will all work, when it will start and which platforms are included will be revealed shortly. The tech companies are likely to be forced to comply or face penalties. But experts don't all agree that a ban is the best solution. Campaigners such as the NSPCC say the tech giants should be forced to make their platforms better rather than taking them away from young people. The companies say they're committed to protecting children.
A new attempt to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales is being launched. The Labour MP Lauren Edwards has said she'll bring an identical bill to the one which was passed by the Commons last year but ran out of time after objections in the Lords. That would have allowed terminally ill adults with less than 6 months to live to have medical help to end their lives. Here's our political correspondent, Harry Farley.
Lauren Edwards came second in the ballot of MPs able to bring their own proposed legislation. This week, she will retable the exact same bill MPs voted in favour of last year. That never became law because more than 1,000 amendments in the House of Lords delayed its progress until time ran out. By bringing the identical bill back again, Ms Edwards is threatening to trigger rarely used powers that prevent peers from blocking a bill for a second time. They could suggest changes, but if MPs vote in favour again, it would become law, even without peers' approval. Ms Edwards told the BBC she was asking the Lords to finish the job and not frustrate the elected House of Commons.
If the House of Lords do the job that they are there to do, then we won't have to use any of that procedure that does exist there for a reason, but it just means they won't be able to do what they've done with Kim's bill, which was to talk it out, frustrate the process.
Opponents argue the bill risks pressuring vulnerable people to end their lives early. Ashley Dalton, a colleague of Ms Edwards on the Labour backbenches, said the party shouldn't be using its time and political capital on something that she said simply isn't safe or a priority for the people who put us in power.
There's been a big rise in the number of people who've lost money through banking fraud. Figures from the trade body UK Finance show there were more than 4 million cases last year, with over £1 billion stolen. Here's our cost of living correspondent, Kevin Peachey.
On average, money is stolen through fraud nearly 8 times every minute. There were more than 1 million additional cases last year than 2 years earlier. Criminals are using AI to target victims and manipulate them in greater numbers, using the technology to mimic celebrities and people's family and friends to trick them out of their savings. Romance fraud has soared. Investment fraud is at a record high. Overall, £1.3 billion is known to have been stolen last year, although the crime is still widely unreported. Banks are calling for tech platforms, from social media channels to online marketplaces, to improve verification and security to close entry points for fraudsters. And the public is being urged to stay alert to scams, particularly during vulnerable moments in their lives.
Ukraine has welcomed the UK's interception of a Russian Shadow Fleet oil tanker in the Channel, describing it as a blow to Moscow's war machine. Footage released by the MOD shows armed personnel boarding the vessel by ropes from a helicopter. The MOD said the operation was the result of weeks of planning. The ship is being held off the south coast while investigations continue. Vincent McAvinney sent this report.
In an operation lasting 6 hours, Royal Marine Commandos and specially trained National Crime Agency officers intercepted the tanker Smirtos as it travelled south through the English Channel. The mission was supported by several aircraft, including Chinook and Merlin Mark IV helicopters, as well as Royal Navy vessels. The ship, sailing under a Cameroonian flag, is part of Russia's so-called Shadow Fleet, of more than 700 vessels used to help fund President Putin's war in Ukraine. The tanker will be provisionally anchored near Weymouth, where it will be monitored for any environmental or safety concerns. The government said the action was carried out in line with domestic and international law. While the UK has previously assisted allies such as France and the United States in similar interceptions, this is the first time Britain has led such an operation.
The Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy says government departments are trying to find further savings in order to increase defence spending. John Healey resigned as Defence Secretary on Thursday because of the issue. His successor, Dan Jarvis, has vowed to get the armed forces the funding they need. This from our political correspondent, Joe Pike.
Just 3 days ago, John Healey resigned as Defence Secretary because he wrote the government's proposed investment in the armed forces fell well short of what was required. His departure now seems to have prompted a renewed effort in Whitehall to find more funds. The Culture Secretary, Lisa Nandy, told the BBC Sunday with Laura Koonsberg that discussions about defence spending were ongoing and that a long-delayed investment plan remained in draft form. Ms Nandy said she was meeting with officials in her own department about potential further cuts. Allies of Mr Healey said this development had only come about because of his resignation, and they called the move another unbelievable U-turn. The Conservatives have offered to back Labour in cutting welfare spending to free up more funding for the military.
A plane carrying skydivers has crashed in the US state of Missouri, killing all 12 people on board. The private aircraft came down shortly after taking off from an airport around 60 miles south of Kansas City. The Prime Minister has paid tribute to Roy Hattersley, the former Labour deputy leader who's died at the age of 93, describing him as a giant of the Labour movement. Sir Keir Starmer said Lord Hattersley had never lost his belief in a more equal Britain. Our political correspondent Ian Watson looks back at his life.
As a politician, Roy Hattersley faced familiar challenges. He was elected as Labour's deputy leader in 1983, following an historic defeat at that year's election. He declined to follow others on the party's right into the breakaway SDP, and along with the new leader, Neil Kinnock, he set about the task of making Labour electable. He had experience nationally as a government minister and locally as a Sheffield councillor, though as an MP he represented Sparkbrook in inner-city Birmingham. He helped lay the groundwork for New Labour, ditching unilateral nuclear disarmament and expelling the Trotskyite militant tendency. But when Tony Blair took office, Roy Hattersley felt the party leadership had moved too far to the right. He was seen as a pragmatist, not an ideologue, but he'll be remembered as a man who wouldn't sacrifice his principles to advance his own career.
In sport, the Caribbean island of Curaçao has been thrashed by Germany at the World Cup. And Lewis Hamilton is a Formula One Grand Prix winner once again. A full roundup from John Wilkinson.
Germany were 1-0 up against Curaçao in Houston when Livano Comanencia equalised for the country with a population of just 158,000 people. It prompted wild celebrations, but it ended up being the most one-sided contest at the World Cup so far. 7-1 it finished. The Germany head coach Julian Nagelsmann says they had to be professional.
Could be always dangerous when there's the equaliser. They feel better and better, get more self-confidence. And then it took 5 minutes. Our movement was a bit too static, too slow. And after that, we deal with it in a brilliant way.
In Group F, Crystal Palace's Daichi Kamada scored an 88th-minute equaliser as Japan drew 2-2 with the Netherlands. Ivory Coast are currently goalless with Ecuador, and it's Sweden against Tunisia later. Ferrari's Lewis Hamilton says he's happy to be in a Formula One title race once again after his first Grand Prix win since 2024, when he was still driving for Mercedes. Kimi Antonelli's championship lead is down to 41 points after the Italian was forced to retire, and Hamilton was keen to enjoy the moment.
I have to start and say a huge grazie to everyone here, my team here, Ferrari, everyone back at the factory. And on top of that, I've got the greatest fan base a sportsman could ever ask for.
Britain's Emma Raducanu has been denied a first title since her US Open success in 2021. She was beaten in the Queen's final by Croatia's Donna Vekic. In cricket, India beat Pakistan in front of a record crowd for a women's T20 World Cup group stage match of nearly 19,000. Whilst Ollie Robinson has been ruled out of England men's second test against New Zealand at the Oval due to soreness in his right knee. And trail finders have stunned Gloucester Hartbury to reach their first Premiership women's rugby final. They'll play Saracens.
John Wilkinson. President Trump will celebrate his 80th birthday by watching an Ultimate Fighting Championship contest, a form of mixed martial arts combat, on the South Lawn of the White House. A giant caged arena called Claw has been built, and more than 4,000 people are expected at the invite-only event, with some reportedly paying $1 million to be in the audience. Now a look at Monday's papers. The Guardian says Sir Keir Starmer's plan for social media restrictions is far tougher than previously briefed. The paper says the decision to opt for stricter measures is likely to draw criticism from some MPs and campaigners. According to the Daily Telegraph, face scans will be used to police the age rules. The Telegraph's other main story is about the new Defence Secretary, Dan Jarvis. It says he's expected to get the same settlement for military spending that prompted his predecessor, John Healey, to quit. The Times has been told that the Mayor of Greater Manchester, Andy Burnham, is now preparing to launch an immediate Labour leadership challenge if he wins the Makerfield by-election. Mr Burnham tells The Eye that if he becomes Prime Minister, he would keep the state pension triple lock and resurrect the northern leg of HS2. A full list of candidates for the Makerfield by-election can be found on the BBC News website. The headlines again. President Trump says a peace deal with Iran is now complete, covering all fronts, including Lebanon. Oil prices have dropped on the news, with the vital Strait of Hormuz shipping lane set to reopen. Sir Keir Starmer is expected to announce a social media ban for under-16s in the UK at a Downing Street news conference in the morning. A fresh attempt to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales is being launched by a Labour MP. The former Deputy Labour leader Lord Hattersley has died. BBC News.
With Andrew Peach. From the news to the weather now, and here's Thomas Schaffernacker.
Thanks very much and hello. Well, it wasn't a bad day across most of the UK on Sunday with some sunshine. Before we get to the forecast, let's have a look at the weather observations. The warmest place was Chivenor in Devon, 24.1 Celsius. The coldest place was Balter Sound in Shetland, 11.7. And we had 13.7 hours of sunshine in Manston in Kent. On to the forecast then for the rest of the night, and generally dry night with lengthy clear spells, just the possibility of catching a shower, maybe in Northern Ireland, Wales, and also southern and central England. Our temperatures early in the morning on Monday will range from 9 degrees in the northeast of Scotland to 11 in central England and about 14 degrees on the south coast of England and Wales. On to the forecast for Monday then. Scotland and Northern Ireland first. Plenty of bright weather first thing, but the clouds will tend to thicken through the morning into the afternoon. And actually, the afternoon is looking rather cloudy, or at least bright, across Scotland and Northern Ireland. And then later on, towards evening, the possibility of some rain in the Western Isles and perhaps central and southern Scotland. But it shouldn't be too persistent. The north of Scotland, however, should stay dry and bright all through the course of the day. In England and Wales, plenty of bright weather in the morning, at least for most of us. Some areas may be a little cloudy. The clouds will come and go. But then later in the day, it does look as though the skies will turn more cloudy across northern England and perhaps Wales too. The sunniest spots will always be across southern and southeastern parts of England. On to our temperatures. They'll vary from around 14 degrees in the northeast of Scotland to 17 in Belfast, 22 in Merseyside, and around 23 or 24 on the south coast of England, as well as southern Wales. And the outlook for the week ahead is for things to warm up, but it won't necessarily be dry all the time.
Many thanks, Thomas Schaffernacker.